This episode brought to you by
Audible.
Audibletrial.com/horrorvirgin for 30 days free and a book to get you started for your book recommendation.
I'm going to preemptively apologize for whatever this book turns out
to be. Well, this movie takes place in the woods. I thought we could recommend Into the Wild about a rich son of a bitch who just decides, hey, I'm rich and white. I can do whatever I want. Yeah. Let's walk into the woods of Alaska and fucking die.
Well, hot take from Todd.
What an idiot.
That is a good book, though. Corey read it.
It's about an idiot. Isn't it a true story?
Yes.
What a fucking moron. So this episode also brought to you by
Nick B. We have the funnest fun fact about Nick B.
We do. Mikey, you were there for that.
Fun fact. Nick P played Frank Infurter in a school production.
How dare you? It's Dr. Frank Infurter.
Yeah, he didn't go to
8 years of evil alien doctor sexy medical school.
Sexy medical school. Yeah.
Sweet transvestite school.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we need proof.
I need pics or it didn't happen. Like 100%.
He's got to have pictures.
Will Nick B let us know? But isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
I would love
to play that part.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would make a good Frankenfurter.
Now that's all that's in my head. It's picturing you in that role.
This episode also brought to you by
John.
Let me tell you the truth about John. And this is kind of related to Nick B's fun fact.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, he burned down a school production.
Oh, no. Was it a Rocky Horror Picture
Show?
No, it was Bye Bye Birdie.
Oh, well, hey. Wow.
17 people died.
I hate Bye Bye Birdie. So good job, John.
Wait, is John in Great White?
Yes.
Two? I hate Bye Bye Birdie. Well done, John.
So does John. But those kids didn't deserve that.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, they didn't choose what musical they were going to do that semester.
Oh my God.
I just wanted to star my senior show.
You're taking murder money.
I mean, we've already taken blood diamond money.
I guess it's more like manslaughter money.
This episode also brought to you by Rebecca. Hey, Rebecca. I apologize for what Mikey's about to say.
How you doing, Rebecca?
Hey, Rebecca. Are you appendicitis? Because you made me feel funny in my stomach and I want to take you out.
Mikey, yeah, you need to get that checked.
Yeah. Guys, check out Rebecca's Etsy store. It's Etsy.com. Just search for Straight On Tell Disney. She makes like Minnie Mouse and Mickey Mouse ears, specifically Star Wars related.
And it's really cool. She said she'd make horror related also.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, so request something cool.
This episode also brought to you by Matthew.
Hey, Matthew. Welcome to the party.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining the Burn It Down level, my man.
Yay.
Yeah, welcome.
You'll need to tell us what you want from Mikey. So, Matthew,
we cannot have him take his clothes off every time we do this.
I'm going to take my shirt off.
So, Matthew, if you could just reach out to us and let us know what you want, whether it's going to be a fun fact, a lie, Mikey's making fun of you, a pickup line. So, Matt, just tell us what you want. Tell us if you want us to call you Matt or Matthew.
Also, thank you for leaving the review that we saw this morning.
Yeah, thank you so much. You might hear that later.
Yeah, maybe. Spoiler.
This episode also brought to you by Carl.
Hey, welcome back, Carl.
Yeah, Carl, bringing back the Burn It Down level. Jeez. I do have a true fun fact about Carl. Carl teaches guitar lessons.
Ooh.
For extra money on the side.
Really? That's his side hustle?
It is his side hustle, yeah.
Carl, I do not know how to play guitar.
Well, I know a Carl you could hire to teach you.
How hard is it, Carl?
Teacher.
Jen, Carl's a married man. You probably shouldn't ask him how hard it is.
Whoa.
Well, at least I didn't ask if your fingers get calloused.
Gross.
They do when you play guitar. It's true.
Oh, we're talking about playing guitar.
Yes. I'm not the one that made it weird.
Guys, if you want to make it weird, also sign up for the Burn It Down level on Patreon.
Yeah.
So you get your own weekly shout out.
Yeah, weird or regular.
And tell me what you want. I'll give it to you.
So maybe we should bring the theme music
in. Would you like to bring the theme music in?
Will you please bring that theme music in?
Nice.
Yay.
All right, let's do it.
I'm going to try to tell it every episode.
Catchphrase.
Welcome to the Horror Virgin, everybody. I'm Jen.
And I'm your Horror Virgin, Todd, which means I don't like scary movies. So you guys made me watch them, and then we sort of discussed them. And this week, you guys made me watch... It's a special episode.
It is a special episode. And because it's a special episode, we have a very special guest.
It's Team Couch.
Oh, it is Team Couch. The return
Couch
of Team Couch.
Back in full effect with Jonathan.
We're called Team Couch. We have a couple names.
We John and Mikey song. John and Mikey cast.
It's called Jokey, and that's our
that's better than
name.
Like that's better than like Jekyll or whatever.
Jonathan Watkins from Cinema Sins.
Thank you.
I was gonna give him a chance, but
so today is Friday the 13th. Hooray! Yes. So we are continuing our installment of bonus episodes we are releasing on Friday the 13th, and we are on our second Friday the 13th in the existence of the podcast. So it's Friday the 13th, part deux.
I think like up until this point, they were like, I wonder if they're gonna do this.
I know.
And now that we've done it twice, it is a pattern.
It is a pattern. Yeah.
I've only done it once.
You're gross. You guys had all seen this movie before,
yeah,
right?
I've seen it.
Yeah,
I was
like a kid.
Yeah,
yeah, you guys did a send video.
We sent it a couple Halloweens ago.
Oh, yeah? We should link that in the thread notes.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah. Anyways. So you guys have seen this before. Did you like it when you first saw it? I mean, I'm sure there are parts Mikey liked.
Yeah, like when the...
Nope. Oh, jeez.
I love that you can't talk. You just started laughing. You just can't talk.
I like all the deaths.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. You like the kills?
Yeah.
You like how he's exactly as tall and skinny as a tree? Yes. is able to garrot people. I saw the third one first because I was like six or seven when the third one came out, like on HBO. I don't think I actually watched the first two till I was older because I kind of just went forward from there.
Yeah.
I've always liked the second one.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever watched these in order.
I've only seen the first one going into this one, and I will say this one is a lot better than the first one.
Oh, disagree.
But it is not a good movie.
I think there's a lot to like in it if you're looking for a slasher franchise kind of movie.
They figured out what the audiences enjoyed in the first one, and they just that's what they put in this one.
See, and I like the first one so much better.
Is it because Kevin Bacon's in that?
I might like the first one.
Well, the first one is one of my favorite horror movies. I love it. Yeah.
That's so weird.
I love it. There is a lot that I do like in this, and it is the first one where Jason is the killer.
That's true.
And so a lot of people consider this like the actual first Friday the 13th movie, which I do not. Because I love the first one.
It's Friday the 13th, too. Well, let's get into this fucking movie. Let's talk about it.
Well, we start with like 20 minutes of the original movie.
Yeah, do you guys remember the last 20 minutes of the first episode we've done
this? Well, if you don't, you're in luck.
Alice dreams it in her sweater and...
her sweater and hideous overalls. The first thing we actually see are legs walking in every puddle they can find.
Yeah.
Well, the itsy bitsy spider is singing or something.
Well, I don't think the spider.
The spider
is
itself is not singing. Yeah. Yes.
This is not arachnophobia.
The annoying ass kid is singing.
Yeah. Right, and his mom yells at him.
So we see this little kid jumping in puddles, and his mom calls him over.
It's Jason's legs walking in puddles, and we just hear.
The kid gets called in. He goes on the sidewalk, and then here comes Jason. There's two sets of legs.
Two sets of legs. Somebody's walking in puddles.
Yeah,
and somebody's walking to the house. So we hear the Jason music, and we see legs walking up to this house. And then we see Alice, like, wearing her, like we said, her turtleneck sweater and hideous overalls, writhing and sleeping around on her bed.
She looks like a human version of, like, a Fisher-Price Little People. She's like, has, like, a green overalls and a sweater.
I don't think you can say that. I don't think you're allowed to say that, my man.
It's a children's toy. She's just very green. It's very odd.
She is very green. She's the final girl from the first one,
she
right?
She is. She is Alice from the first one.
Right.
And she is dreaming the last 45 minutes of the first movie.
So we're going to skip past all that, assuming you've seen the last 45 minutes of it. But then she walks around her house. Ooh, remember when she walked back into the room and then got naked?
Nope. The only thing I saw was that her whole house was made out of cinder blocks.
She has a cinder block bookshelf.
That was amazing. Yes.
That was a good catch.
So Alice is walking around her house.
She walks around her house.
She, like, this whole scene takes like 40 minutes and it should be 3 minutes.
This is an hour and 27 minute movie.
Yeah. I know.
And it's like 30 minutes before you see the cam. Mm-hmm.
Well, so she's walking around her house. She's talking on the phone to her mom.
Yes.
And she's looking at pictures that you guys said were of David Bowie. I think
she drew them.
She did. Yeah.
They look like Ziggy Stardust.
They did look a little bit like David Bowie because they're very like 80s. They reminded me of Jim.
Jets good.
They were truly
and
outrageous.
He said female wrestlers.
Right. And I think what they're supposed to be is the
she
victims.
Glow.
Hey, Glow is the shit.
I love that series.
Awesome.
Yes.
But I think they're supposed to be like the victim, like her friends that were killed in the camp or something. And that's like blood on their face or something.
No,
I
it was
don't
a
know.
Star. I mean, sure.
Yeah.
But
they were stars of the first film.
Ooh.
They were. Hey, Kevin Bacon went on to become a star.
And no one else.
Yep. No one else.
I name another person.
What about Alice? She was in this movie.
Yeah.
What else did she do?
Yeah. Hey, I have a fun fact about that. So now she gets in the shower and then does not even get her hair wet before she hears another phone call. So she goes and answers the phone, and this time it's
nobody.
It's this is 30 minutes into the movie.
And then, yeah, dude.
And then she takes 20 minutes to walk around her house, then goes into the kitchen, and you think something's going to happen at the window.
And she got her ice pick in her hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But instead of it being Jason, it's just her cat jumping in the window.
This is like creep.
It did scare the shit out of me, though, Jen. Yeah.
It's a big jump scare.
It's a good cat scare.
There were three jump scares in this movie that got me, and that was one of them.
Yeah.
It looked like it was a real cat that got thrown in that window.
I think it was a real cat.
It looks like someone tossed it under the window.
Wait, hold on a second. You weren't sure if that was a real cat?
You think it might have been an animatronic cat?
Yeah, it was like a robot?
No, I mean like a stuffed cat got thrown through the window.
Meow.
They made some weird choices where their special effects budget.
I'm telling you, that cat did not get thrown lightly. I was like kind of like upset about it.
This is before anyone cared about animals. They murdered a snake in the first movie.
They did.
I wasn't on that episode.
Yeah,
that's right. That
did
was
you guys
before
talk about
you.
That? Because I've heard that story. Apparently the snake handler didn't know and he's just like over
and
the
he's
up to the side crying.
Yeah.
That is terrible.
Yeah. I'm just saying the cat came in at a high speed. It looked really ridiculous.
Okay, so a cat got thrown through a window. And so now she's let her guard down. She put the ice pick down. But surprise, she opens the fridge and there is Mrs. Voorhees' head that we've just seen her cut off in a flashback.
So Jason carried that on a bus.
In the sack that is currently on his head.
Or maybe he can drive. No. I hate this scene, though. I hate that they kill Alice.
Yeah.
I hate that it takes 45 minutes to kill her.
I
don't
too.
Care that they kill her.
But my feeling is, if you're a final girl, if you survive the previous film, you should just live.
Yeah, tell that to Iron Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I knew you'd get
that. They killed Jason Gedrick in the second Iron Eagle?
At the very beginning.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I hate movies that do that. I hate that
trope.
Well,
I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street did it with Nancy. It's just irritating.
I knew you'd get that.
So should I talk about my fun fact about that? Because I've got some fun facts about
it. Let's do it now.
Bring it up.
Okay, so the actress's name who played Alice is Adrienne King, and she was apparently supposed to be a bigger part of this movie, but she got a stalker who was obsessed with her and actually like held a gun to her head. And it was
It's terrible.
It is, and it was before they had stalker laws, so there wasn't really anything she could do about it, so she wanted to have as little screen time as possible.
Wow.
So they limited the amount of time she was in the movie, but she showed up on set and she hadn't seen a script yet, so she didn't know she was going to die. And so she ad-libbed the whole phone call with her mom, too, because there was no script for her, and then she found out they'd already shot the entire movie and that she was going to die right then. But that's why they killed her off in the movie.
She says today, though, she just says it was a dream. Like, to this day, the actress, like, when she's, like, at conventions and stuff, she'll think, she says, her opinion is that it's a dream.
That this part really is a dream? Yeah. And I could see that. I mean, that would leave it open-ended for her to come back,
but I think
too.
Is that why she quit? Because she didn't act for a while, right?
Yeah, that is why she didn't want it.
That sucks.
It does.
There's a lot of actresses back then that had that problem.
Another fun fact about that is when she gets stuck in the head with the ice pick, it was supposed to retract and it didn't.
Oh.
So it actually poked her a little bit. She was okay, but like she's really screaming because it really hurt.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, so that was kind of a Downing fun fact. Not so fun a fact, but
also
awful.
Known as the Robert Downey fun fact.
Robert Downey fun fact. Before we move on, this is the part where Jason takes the tea kettle off of the hot teapot.
Yeah,
so that it doesn't burn. He is very thoughtful.
That is like my second favorite moment. My first favorite moment comes later. Has to do with underwear. That's all I'll say.
Oh, yeah. We'll get there.
When she goes brown down. All right, let's move on. We'll get
you
there.
You made
guys.
It weird.
New catchphrase. Very long credits.
These credits are amazing, Jen.
Jen, these credits explode.
I am so excited for you two to see Friday the 13th Part 3.
I know.
Those are the most amazing opening credits.
Well, it'll be in December.
Yeah.
What are you doing in December, Jonathan?
Probably watching Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
All right. So now we see a gigantic truck with two teenagers barely in this driving to Camp Crystal.
Well, the man is a teenager.
Excuse me. The man is a chimney sweep. The girl is 13 years old.
Yes.
So Todd means that the guy 17. Had on a funny looking chimney sweep hat from Mary Poppins. And the girl was very young.
She was very young. Yes. I've called them kid couple. All right. So they are pulling up to the town. And this is the same town as from the first movie,
yes,
I think.
It is the exact same town. Like, I recognized it. And the Harbinger guy is there.
Yeah, Crazy Ralph.
And he rolls up. Like, they walk from their truck to the phone booth. Is that what they were called?
The phone booth.
Yeah, they're There is a phone booth.
And then immediately they start getting their car towed or truck towed.
Right.
And the
but
fucking,
they don't see it because they're getting directions from the phone.
And the Harbinger guy like rolls up on him out of nowhere and is like, there's death in them hills, Mikey. Yeah,
he just looks like a senile Mennonite flying around.
He actually does. He should have rolled up and been like, hey, do you want to buy a quilt?
Homemade honey. You're going to die in the hills.
Yeah, it's a death quilt.
I just feel like he rolls up to everybody saying this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's his thing.
Even a broken clock.
Well, they call him Crazy.
So what you're saying is they've introduced a ticking Crazy Ralph clock.
No, it's not. It has stopped ticking.
Team chair.
Nailed it. All right. All right. So anyway, they see their truck getting towed and they start running after it. And it's going so slow that they catch up with it. And the chimney sweep is like, that's my car you got there, Governor.
Governor, and my chimney sweep too. And I really wanted him to run into a pole like an airplane.
He doesn't.
But he doesn't. Yeah.
The tow truck guy is just like stone faced, won't look over at him. It's like when you're like parked at a red light and they're like asking for change and you're like, don't look at them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am a robot. I was not trained to donate.
Yeah, like.
So anyway, he catches up and the tow truck guy just turns the corner and it shows redhead D-bag with like the shortest shorts. Like, apparently.
Jen was attracted to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Bored for
he's
it.
Ted. He's tall and skinny and has red hair.
He's the.
No. Anyway.
Anyway, yeah, he is the nerd, the goofball, but he's a little.
He's the
dreamy.
Prankster.
You think he's dreaming?
I like tall, skinny
Did
redheads.
Did you not see his face?
No, I was looking at those abs.
And he gets That's to fair. Live. Alice doesn't get to live.
He does.
Even though
yeah.
she's survived, but
Alice was dreaming.
Jacket. Oh yeah, that's right.
So Ted has paid this tow truck guy to tow their car right around the corner because they run after the tow truck and then they run smack into the camp.
Yeah, and really all that's happening is there's like the camp counselor who's like counseling the soon-to-be camp counselors because it's like a camp counselor training camp.
It's
right?
a high concept movie. Are they training for next summer?
It's very, very like. Behind the scenes of what
it's
like to be a camp counselor.
Like it might even be like cool weather. So, I mean, they might be like in the spring or something.
Yeah, maybe it's like pre-camp.
Their spring break.
Is this an actual career camp
I don't know.
Counseling?
We're putting way more thought into this than
the writers
did.
Yeah. No, I think what it is they show, the camp counselors show up before camp starts for the summer. Getting ready. Like, here's where the swimming hole is. Here's how you do
and
the
And I think they
throw.
Wanted a certain age group. They didn't
want they
kids.
Wanted to make sure that there were no people under the age of 18 in this film.
Miserably.
Yeah, except for the one that was.
Right, yeah.
Spoiler alert. She looks real young. Yeah. So the redhead douche, what's his name?
Ted.
The one you're in love with, Ted.
Dreamboat Ted, that's what I call him.
Butterface Ted is now in the truck with the two preteens driving to the camp, and there is a log in the road.
There is a log in the road, yeah, and we'll see.
It's like a branch.
Yeah, like a gigantic.
And they get out, and they're like, huh, we're driving through the woods, and there's a branch in the road, and they say, where did this come from? Tree, idiot.
The side of the road's big enough to just drive around it.
It is. You could have driven around it, but they stopped.
They're in charge of the camp. So, I mean, somebody, they're going to have to move it in.
I've never seen a branch like that before.
Yeah, because she's 12.
She's never been outside.
This is a kidnapping.
Oh, my gosh. All right, but so we're going to start seeing, like, hands pulling bushes back and, like, point of view shots
of Jason.
We don't
see Bush until later in the movie.
Do you think the point of view shots are just the search party for the little girl who got stolen?
I think so, for part of the Amber Alert.
Yeah, the 13 part 2 Amber Alert.
Wait, there's not even nudity in the first one, right? Or not really.
No, not really. You see some bra, but no.
They just went all some full frontal on this one.
Yeah, they said.
Thankfully, this was the older person.
All right. So we're starting to see like hands pulling back tree branches in the Jason point of view shot. We don't know who it is yet, but that we're going to see that lots of times.
Did she look right at the camera this?
They all
scene?
Look right at the camera all the time.
Who's that I'm looking right at that's 5 feet away from
you
me?
You guys don't know this, but if you look straight at Jason, you can't see him.
It's because of the bag over his head?
It's the one eye.
Oh.
The brown eye.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, they get back in the truck, I guess, and just drive to camp.
They do, yeah. So now we see, we're starting to get to camp and we're starting to see some of the campers, and we see a girl who I've just called Shorts Girl because I can't remember what her name is.
Halter Top.
And Steve, because Steve is the guy who was like creepy. creepy and taps her ass.
So she is walking. She's wearing shorts that just look like they would be so uncomfortable.
I mean, her
to
butt's
wear.
Like hanging out of them.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. And we see a slingshot and she gets
slingshot.
Well, first
you see hands. Like,
you do. You
I
see
think
Jason
they want you to think
hands.
It's Jason, but
and
then
it might
it's
be.
Just Steve. No,
it,
well, I mean, okay.
It could be both.
At that point,
yeah.
Sure. But then you see Steve with like a slingshot and he hits her in the butt with like a grape or something.
I think it was a pebble.
It might have been a pebble.
I think it was like a condom or something.
Do you, Jen?
Jen, that's a hot take.
Yeah. I don't think that would go well in a slingshot, but you know.
This is an 81. No one used condoms.
Yeah, they were raw dogging like it was fucking Roadhouse.
All right. So she gets pinged in the booty from this slingshot from this twerp
now,
who's
granted,
like hitting on her.
You can bounce pennies off of it.
And we see that.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it was a penny. Steve is just really bad at flirting. That's all that
yes.
is.
Yes.
No, he's creep.
No, yeah, he's a full-on creep.
Yeah, he's a full-on creep.
I think he thinks he's flirting.
He
but
was that character in like 1981 that was supposed to be like charming but now in 2019
that was charming.
I would have cleaned up back then.
No, you wouldn't have.
I have a slingshot.
It's like in Revenge of the Nerds, though, when she finds out that's not really her boyfriend under the Darth
he
Vader
hat.
Yeah,
that movie.
Yeah, totally.
Creepy guy aside. So now they're all having their meeting about camp counselorness
yeah,
or something.
This is an awkward moment because they're it all is. Like, we're all like 20 and there's like a 13-year-old girl here.
Right. Can we talk about this? So we've got Paul, who's like the camp leader guy.
That's his name.
Yeah.
I was wondering
he's
going to
like
was.
Head
yeah.
up
you
the
knew
camp.
Steve, yeah. but not Paul.
They're pretty generic names here.
Yeah, they're all real generic names.
You know, Slingshot Steve.
Yeah,
it's
Slingshot Steve, Camp Counselor Leader Paul, Wheels Mark, right?
What's the girl's name?
Why does that matter?
Her name tag is up here. All right, so they're having their camp counselor meeting, and Jenny just pulls up in her Beetle and like basically drives through the meeting, and they're all like, what the fuck, we're trying
she
to have a meeting.
She drives down the road. Like, there's a road right there.
I mean, they are having a meeting right next to the parking lot,
yeah.
too, so that's on them.
And it's not about anything important. I listened.
It's only... Oh, did you?
I mean, I can't tell you what it was
she
about,
is,
but
she
I know
is considered
wasn't.
By many to be the best final girl in a
she
Friday
is.
The 13th.
Wow,
yeah.
Really?
And she might be.
She, there are things about her that people like, and compared to a lot of other final girls, I do think there are good things about her character. I'm not crazy
well,
about
the,
her.
Well, in the final girl sequence is good.
Yes.
Is better than most of the movies. Like
I agree.
Chase.
I do think the final girl sequence in this one was better than the final girl sequence in the first one.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, so Jenny is our final girl. She is the actress Amy Steele who was in
April Fool's Day.
April Fool's Day.
A movie
yeah.
we did on April Fool's Day.
Yep, that's right. And watch so that. There's something, like Paul was mad at Jenny for some reason. I think it's because she was late because her car wouldn't start.
She was
start.
10 minutes late and he gave her shit about it.
Right, yeah. Because
like,
her car
happening?
Wouldn't start. Yeah. yeah. And that'll come back into play. So
and she's making the place look like Burger King.
Yeah.
yeah, because she left her car on the road.
Okay, so he's giving them tips about being camp counselors, talking about how to avoid bears by just not being women in the woods.
There, this is the thing in Friday the 13th movies that kills me. There is a lot of talk about bears yeah. to the point where I'm really upset there's never a bear attack.
I know. I would love to see
I mean,
Jason
like,
fight a
I'm
bear.
I'm not kidding. Like almost all the early movies, they talk about bears. It's And mm-hmm. I guess there's just a lot of bears in New Jersey that I'm
well,
not
Well, I mean,
of.
There are bears in the woods.
Well, yeah.
They shit
in
the
New
woods.
Jersey.
Yeah. yeah.
But yeah, that we don't ever see Jason fight a bear.
No.
So now it is campfire time. And so we see all of the camp counselors, but one sitting around the campfire roasting marshmallows, and he's telling the story about Jason.
I can't believe that's you what, find him attractive.
It's so bizarre.
The heart wants what the heart wants.
Listen, that's fine. And he does have, like, he's in shape. But, like, when he has that old man freaky mask on and when he jumps out, his face looks
oh,
better
like
with
the
mask
loin?
On.
No, I was not into that role play scenario. Not for me.
Jen, listen, make a tape.
No. Ladies, don't make a tape.
Ladies, right. make your own decisions.
Paul is telling the story to the counselors about Jason, and he's telling what we've already seen for 30 minutes at the beginning of this movie that...
At the beginning of this movie, they show you the end of the last
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, they spoil it.
And then 20 minutes after that, they tell
story.
You what happens
right.
again.
But he says holy nobody shit. Knows what happened to Alice, implying that her body
you gotta
wasn't
make sure
found.
The other characters are aware.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. Well, but see, so he.
they couldn't, like, show them that footage.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
What if that like, was the camera?
First day
I've
camp.
Got a 9mm film here called Friday the 13th. It happened 5 years ago down the camp.
Is there a 9mm film?
No, it's 8mm. No, it's 8mm. He doesn't have a gun.
So he's. But he's telling about the story. And the story apparently is that
yeah.
Jason wasn't actually dead. He's been hiding in the woods this whole time. And it's upsetting because he watched his mother die. And now he's out for revenge.
Oh, God, yeah. grow up.
Yeah.
Well, listen. He did. He did in the woods. But and we can talk about the gigantic plot holes in that story, but that's basically where the story of Jason comes from. He didn't die in the lake because the counselors weren't watching him. He just hid in the woods from his mom and never went.
Yeah, can we talk about how mean he is to his mom by never showing up and showing her that her son's alive?
Exactly. Like, and he's so sad that he watched his mom die, but he never just ran out of the woods and said, "Hey, mom, you don't have to kill everybody. I'm right here." Mm-hmm. But so
I actually read in the book that the reason he didn't want to go back to his mom is because she was very abusive to him and his dad. Mm. So he was very scared of her.
That's why his dad left.
I like how you do all this show prep. Yeah. You're like a you're like Mikey Jr.
These books were these books were very long and arduous to read. Mm-hmm. And much like Stephen King, they all have baller endings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's telling the story and then boo! Dreamy Ted jumps out with some kind of weird crazy caveman costume on and a spear and scares them all.
And all nine abs.
Yeah, he's got like 40 abs.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He's built like an action figure but with like a garbage pail kid's head.
Yep. Cue the beginning of Jennifer's crush.
Really?
I mean he's not like
she's like me. She likes attainable.
Look, let's just say he's no Kevin Bacon, but I wouldn't kick him out of the cabin. Did you see how long his spear was? Now the teens are there. The counselors are all hanging out in the camp room.
Well, they all get scared by him jumping out because he jumps out with a spear dressed like an app.
And they think he might.
And later on, you run out. It's a real spear.
It's a real spear.
Yeah, no, that was wildly impractical and dangerous. What he did.
And now we've reached the 60-minute mark of a 127-minute movie.
30 minutes of which have all been recapping the last movie. Right. It's like they wrote one episode of Black Mirror but needed to make the movie 90 minutes long.
So they just sewed a previously's on from every episode of the series. Yeah. All right. So now Jenny's going to her cabin and she's starting to hear something outside. She's kind of looking out the door and then Paul jumps and scares her from like behind or
something.
Yeah,
because Paul is like, I had to sneak over here because I'm not supposed to fraternize with the counselors.
Yeah, and then makes out with someone he's not supposed to be fraternizing with.
Well, I got the impression that they were dating.
I think so too.
Because I got the impression that he hired her as his assistant because they were dating.
She does seem to have kind of authority in this camp. She's always walking into the cabin, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she is the assistant to the general manager.
Right.
She's been in college though for a while because she's studying psychology because that's how she does her whole thing at the end.
Child psychology. Yeah.
Child psychology.
Mm-hmm. So in the first one, Alice had a relationship with the leader of the camp too. So I think that's kind of a nod to that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then he's kind of a dick because he's like, no, for serious. I'm really mad that you were 10 minutes late.
Right.
Yeah. Don't ever be late again. Yeah. I don't like pregnancy scares.
I'm your boss, but
even though he didn't give two shits. Well, we'll talk about that, I guess, in a minute when they sneak off. He didn't give two shits about that.
No.
Being a dick to the cop.
He's like, get away from here, 5-0. Everybody's legal.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why he was getting them out of there really quick. Yeah. You know what? Yeah, I got
He's like, hide Sharon immediately.
How old's your assistant?
Jenny's like 24.
Yeah. Is she? She's a college student.
Yeah, I'd say she's 20 at least. So now we're seeing somebody creeping around the outside of the cabin, and that's who Jenny heard earlier. And then we find out it's Crazy Ralph, who's just looky-loo lurking around.
Oh, yeah.
And then he gets garroted.
He did. What's garroted?
Isn't that what that is?
Garrot. It's garrot.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I totally have said that wrong like every time.
It actually isn't, a garrot, though, because it's barbed wire.
Yeah, it is.
You can see the barbs in it, but it's so dark, and you can barely see the barbs in it. It does look like a garrot.
Every time it's a wire, that's just what I think.
Yeah. And this is when we speculated that Jason may be part tree, because we just see his arms reach down from the branches of a tree.
Yeah. He's an end.
Well, he sure can't leave them alone.
Wow. He honestly is just trying to save the preteen from being...
I mean, yeah, he's the hero of this movie.
Well, I mean, he kills her. Yeah. He didn't know she was under there.
No one can see she's tiny because she's a child.
In the covers.
In the race car bed they were hooking up in.
All right, so now it's the next morning and they're all running and Mark, who's in a wheelchair, is like speed shaming all of them.
They're jogging for fun.
Yeah, they're jogging.
That's part of the counselor training.
It is.
I honestly think you have to be in shape to be a counselor. Like, I don't think that's unreasonable.
In case you have to run in the woods after someone.
They have like activities and stuff. Yeah. They might even take the kids
like running.
Marathon. Because they said they were going to teach them archery and swimming.
Axe throwing, woods running.
Speaking of axe throwing, let's get back to Mark real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Because Mark is shaming the runner. Hey, look at the things with the legs.
Mark is in a wheelchair, if we haven't mentioned
that. He is, yeah. And one thing that I do like about this movie is they never treat him like, nobody ever makes fun of him in this movie. No, like that girl is all over.
Oh,
him.
Yeah. Her like third question to him is like, so does that dick work?
Yeah, right. I was going to say, she does seem to be kind of into him because he's in the wheelchair, yeah. though, which is a little weird. That.
Her dad's definitely in a wheelchair. Yeah.
Well, I didn't mean that, but
hot
sure.
take from Todd.
What makes you think she's got a dad, Todd?
All right, let's move on. Okay. So what happens after? Yeah.
They're jogging and they all have ridiculous clothes on for running.
You like a tube top.
And jean shorts. Like yeah. that's you're gonna get hurt.
Yeah, yeah. You're gonna chafe real bad.
That's barely a tube top. That's more like a boob top. That's all it's covering.
And like jean shorts, they're like five sizes too small.
I know that was a bad joke, but it seriously is all it's covering.
No, that was not a joke so much as it was factually accurate.
Right, like an accurate description of what we saw. Yeah. The way she wore her clothes just bugged me so much. And it wasn't so much that it was objectifying her, even though it was. It just looked uncomfortable.
Jen, it's fine. She takes them off later.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Some of them are easier to get off than others. They're all jogging.
That was an amazing joke. Mikey, I really appreciated that on the inside. That was amazing. Did you hear what he said?
I did hear what he said, yeah.
Some are easier to get off.
All right, so we see Jason in the woods, and Muffin the dog runs up to Jason and just like cute barks at his shoes. And they're talking about Crystal Lake, and so they are at Crystal Lake, but
Muffin
they're
and
on
Jason?
Yeah, that's what that sounded like.
What?
Are Muffin and Jason the way you, talking the way about you phrased Lake? It, it made it sound like Muffin and Jason were having a conversation about Crystal Lake.
The only two non-speaking characters in this movie have dialogue about them talking.
And they're trying to do impressions on a podcast.
All right.
I'm so sorry. Holy shit sticks.
All right. So, but, and they're talking about the old Camp Crystal Lake that they call Camp Blood. But
who is talking?
Jason and Muffin. No, all of the
Is this where it cuts over to the hot dogs or whatever?
Yes.
And they're talking
around. Not quite yet.
Oh, okay.
Who is talking?
The camp counselors. They're walking through the woods and they're talking.
This is preteen Barbie and
Barbie. Yeah, that works.
What did you call that guy?
The chimney sweep.
Chimney sweep and preteen Barbie.
I just called them cake couple.
They're the ones talking.
Yes, they are, because she's got some fetish for murder scenes or something. She wants to go over to Camp
Crystal.
I think
I know what his fetish is. Yeah.
She's into murder scenes and he's into young women.
Yeah. Is this when they sneak off?
No. Wait your
this
turn.
This is Muffy and Jason's big scene. Muffin. Pardon me. Muffin. All right. So. All
right. What do you mean underage? I have to go say.
You gotta help her. Jason, you gotta help.
Okay, I'll help her, but I'm gonna go murder a dog that looks just like you.
Whatever.
And then everybody else.
I murdered that dog. That was chimney sweep stuff.
All right.
That's how he lured her into camp. That bitch.
I've done what I can, Jason. Do the rest. Muffin's got a bow, too, to set that scene up.
That is the detail we're missing.
Honestly, guys, if you're not laughing your ass off, you're not picturing the bow. Holy shit, guys.
We're off the rails. All that to say, the camp is at Crystal Lake, but it's across the lake from the original camp where every guy got murdered. Mikey's going to die.
Camp Blood.
Camp Blood, yeah. So now they're grilling out.
Yeah, they're grilling out hot dogs. And I think, this is where we see the chainsaw.
Yes.
Because Jenny cuts a piece of wood, takes it over to the redhead face nightmare, and he's he's making more hot dogs.
It's a dream, not a nightmare.
Like? Have you seen Beetlejuice?
Yes.
It's when the guy pulls his head back and takes the eyes on his fingers.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he does look like that.
I'll give that. He's got a nose on him.
And you think he's adorable.
I'm down for it, you know? Ugh.
Then she goes and puts the chainsaw where obviously. Obviously goes in her closet.
Yeah, she puts it in her closet above her shoes, below her shirts.
That's what you do at camp.
Is it?
And so, what is Shorts Girl's name? I can't remember.
What is Shorts Girl?
The girl who's always wearing clothes that bug me.
The girl who gets naked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, she's looking for Muffin, the dog that was having a conversation with Jason. And this is the first time we really noticed that she's looking in the woods. We see Jason's point of view shot and she stares directly at the
awful.
Camera. Yeah.
You brought that
from
up
like
in the sense
4
video.
Feet away. Yeah. So now kid couple.
Unless it's Muffin's point of view.
Oh, maybe it is Muffin's point of view.
Because they're working together.
They might be, actually.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. They are working together. We have proof of this.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
This can now be the Muffin theory.
Yes. Yeah. Do you know the Muffin theory?
It lives on Camp Blood Lane.
You're welcome.
Good Lord. All right, let's move on.
All right, so kid couple is walking through the woods, and this is when they're sneaking off not to sweep chimneys or grow up a little bit.
Or have sex,
right. Yeah. So they are walking through the woods, and they wanted to sneak over to Camp Blood, and they see who we think is Muffin eviscerated on the ground.
Yeah. But it's not. It's a trap set by Muffin to lure the pedophile.
She murdered another dog. So now the cop busts them up because they're about to start making out over this dead dog or something.
Oh, my God.
And brings them back to the office.
I don't think they're about to start making out, though, are they?
I think so. You don't lure a 13-year-old in the woods unless you're going to try something.
No, I'm saying after they found the dead dog, I don't think they were about
to. It did kill the mood a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's like the organs are all over the place.
It killed the mood for her, for sure.
Dude, it might have made it better for him. Is that what you're trying to say?
But the cop doesn't say, hey, did you kill this dog?
No, he doesn't even say, hey. Like, man, what are you doing in the woods with this child?
Right. No, he offers no help to the child.
You're
in this.
Trespassing.
Yeah. And he's just pretty much yelling at Paul for saying, hey, you need to keep them out of there. You're too close. You should have set up your camp further in a different county or whatever, further away. Yeah.
He brought them back to the camp office.
And Paul is like, whatever, narc. Who cares?
He's looking at his Yankees hat. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, he clearly doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, there's reason I'd need law enforcement this summer.
Yeah, he's like, listen. Listen, we live by one law, camp law. We don't need your kind of law up here where you worry about things like age of consent and stuff like that. Get out of here with your law.
Yeah, is this episode going to even be able to air?
So Paul dismisses the child and her old boyfriend. And then the cop is like, oh, you're not even going to punish them? And I did like Paul's response to that was just like, no seconds for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Dessert.
No seconds for dinner. Yeah.
Shit, my
they
bad.
They can have all the pre-dessert food they want.
Right.
Pre-dessert, otherwise known as dinner.
Dinner. Sometimes lunch.
Oh, shit. What do you guys want to get for pre-dessert?
Sorry.
No, I loved it.
So now the cop is running out.
Oh, my God.
Okay, no. The cop's driving
away.
The cop
is driving, yeah. And
a guy runs through the road.
Right. Yeah, runs across the road.
Yeah, so the cop's like, not in my town. Slams on the brakes.
It's insane.
It just sprints out into the woods.
Basically does a rolling stop out of his own cop car, leaves the door open. The car may as well have careened down the road.
The car is slowly moving down towards the town.
That's maybe what's knocking all the tree limbs over. So he's running through the woods. I'm sorry. He's lumbering through the woods.
Fucking time.
Yeah, he sprints a long way. Good for him.
Yeah.
So show Jason go through something and then they'll cut and show him go through it.
Like this puddle. Now he goes over this puddle.
Yeah.
So he's running through the woods and then they see a shack and it's just, it looks like five different shipping containers like glued together with.
Yeah, it looks like four different houses put together.
It's like the show Tiny Homes.
Yeah.
But like if crack addicts made them. It basically looks like a homeless camp.
It does. And that's what it is. It's this shack and he goes in and is really disgusting.
But they make a point to show us that there is a toilet. So we know
behind the curtain.
We know Jason shits and he likes privacy.
So cop is walking around and just disgusted and he opens this door and sees like candlelight and he's horrified by what he sees, but we don't see it. And Todd was asking, what does he see? What does he see?
He was like, what is he looking at?
He's like, we're not gonna fucking spoil the movie for you. He's opening and he sees this glowing light that may or may not be Marcellus Wallace's soul in the middle of this shack.
Right.
And then he gets claw hammered from behind by
that was
Jason.
Pretty brutal, man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. That's one of my most feared ways to die. It's
claw hammered to the back of the head. What
dude.
Kind of shit are you into?
HGTV.
Tiny Homes.
Man, the Property Brothers, there are two of them.
Wow.
I don't understand what any of that
it's
means.
It's a threesome joke.
They're twins. Okay. So cop gets claw hammered to the back of the head.
Yeah, cop's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Sad. All right. So now we're back at the camp and they're just finishing up their pre-dessert and they decide to go out to what may or may not be a casino.
It is a casino.
It says casino on it.
It's like the kind of casino that's got like two slot machines.
Yeah.
So you call it a casino. Truck stop casino.
But Paul at dinner is like,
whoever wants to go out, this is your last night on the town.
Right, because the kids are going to be there tomorrow.
Oh, well, there's actually, a kid that there does already. Not make sense. I guess they were about to have the kids there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But guys, there's a kid there already. Yeah.
So now, shirt and shorts girl, what did we say her name was? Terry. Terry stayed behind and she's walking around the lake.
Well, a few of them stay behind. Terry's one of them. Steve is the other one that stays
Steve
behind.
Steve is slingshot asshole.
And then there's Mark stays behind.
Vicky, boom. Who's into Mark.
Yeah, Vicky, who wants to see if Wheels' dicks work.
Yeah. And kid couple, who is way too young to even try to pass into a bar.
What is her name? Sharon? Shannon?
Sandra. I think it's Sandra.
But everyone else goes to everyone this casino bar. Yeah.
Yeah, Jenny and Paul go too.
And your crush.
Ted. Oh, and then we've got to talk about the shirt that Terry is wearing because it just drove me insane. Because it's like a crotch
shirt. Can you call
shirt.
It a shirt?
What
I
else would
I
you call it?
I think I called it a
though?
One-third top.
Yeah.
It is a one-third top. It's not even a crop top. It's so short that it is barely covering anything.
It's terrible.
I know. I was pretty upset about it myself.
Terrible. Ladies, wear whatever you want. It's just, it was just distracting.
Yeah, listen, make it take.
Because it's long sleeve and it's just really, really short.
Is it
short.
Long sleeve?
Yeah, it is long sleeve.
Huh, look at the sleeve.
I didn't notice that.
All right, so Terry is wandering around the lake and she starts skinny dipping.
You do.
Yep, and we get
so weird.
No, don't do that. There's probably leeches and bugs and stuff
oh,
in
yeah.
that
I mean,
lake.
I wouldn't get in a lake unless you had like a hazmat suit on.
No.
No.
These days. I mean,
so
come on.
Gross.
Yeah, but this is 81 before all that.
It's fine. You don't even need bathing
Bacteria
suits in lakes.
Existed in 1881.
And it's like full frontal. Like she yeah. gets like completely naked.
We do
like
see full frontal.
Everything. It's like full frontal, full mm-hmm. backle.
Yeah.
Is full backle a thing, Mikey?
She skinny dips out 30 feet and turns around immediately.
Right.
It was like, terrible yeah. idea.
This is wildly impractical. This is
exactly.
a horrible idea. Mm-hmm. I'm going
to
get out.
It's almost like I'm begging to get murdered.
Yeah. Well, and when she starts heading back in, we see
Slingshot
hands.
Steve.
Well, we don't know it's him just yet. Yeah. But when she starts coming back in, we see hands just pick up her clothes mm-hmm. and start like moving out of frame, and then she gets up completely naked, mm-hmm. walking over, and then you see Steve like, oh, I got your clothes.
Oh, yeah. This is totally a funny joke that you're going to be okay with, right? Spoiler, she is not.
Yeah.
Because he just stole her fucking clothes, and she doesn't have any, she didn't even have a towel.
Yeah, but she's not okay with it. It's kind of, I don't
it's
know.
Just
it's
just like
weird.
That 80s, like, yeah. oh, you.
Yeah. yeah, and then, anyway, so he throws her pants to her, and doesn't throw her shirt yeah. at her, so she's walking. I guess she grabs a towel, though.
She does. She puts
grabs
a towel around
so,
her neck, yeah.
So it's just like her, she's got pants and a towel around her neck, so you can't really see anything right. anymore. And she chases after him, and then he gets like
caught in a trap.
He gets literally caught in a trap.
Yeah, his Ooh. Feet get tied up in a thing and they go up like one of those rabbit traps. Mm-hmm. And he's and hanging there by the feet. And she's yeah. like, I'll only let you down if you stop being creepy. And he's like, uh-huh. I don't know if I can promise that.
Right. So she just doesn't let him down. And that's the end
true.
Of the movie. in the gin cut.
It's the
of
end
it.
Of his movie.
It is
although
the end of his
she
movie.
Does go to get like a pocket knife to cut the rope.
Yeah.
But while she's searching for that pocket knife in her cabin, Jason comes up and slices his throat.
Right.
And it's gross.
It Sorry, is, but
Scott.
Nobody cares.
No,
like he's
because
like,
he's a creep.
Creep.
Guess
yeah.
he should have kept that slingshot.
God. And so now Terry's doing some, so she's trying to get a thing to cut. You said it. And so she comes back and she sees him and then she turns around and we guess she sees Jason because we don't see him, but we see her staring at the camera and screaming.
Yeah.
It's probably because the director kept yelling at her because she was looking directly
Stop
at the camera.
Looking at the camera.
She's like, can't help it.
It was probably Muffin.
It was Muffin. Muffin, who's carrying Muffin around that she's at eye level? She's got a little Louis Vuitton carrying case that he just holds up in front of his face.
Yeah, he took his mom's head out because he already killed Alice and then yeah. put the dog in when he came back.
Oh, yeah. So now she's screaming. She's screaming and we smash cut to an electric guitar playing yes. at the casino, the barcino, I guess.
Barcino.
I'll allow it.
Trademark.
yeah. Anyway, so at the bar, we see
Dreamboat Ted.
Yeah, with yeah. a face nightmare.
He's 20 beers too.
Oh God. And he's like, he's the worst. I hate him so much.
He's third wheeling it with Paul and what's her face.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
And he gets to live.
But they're all just having a conversation. Like yeah. he may have bugged you. He's not super obnoxious. He's not as obnoxious
they're
as
they're having a conversation until Jenny gives her opinion. And then they're like, oh, stupid woman.
Yes.
Why but she's right.
I know. Well, I mean, she's closer to right than they are.
Yeah. She also delivers it not very interestingly. So.
That's well, true.
Like,
you might
I had
say,
a hard time paying attention.
You might say that the acting in this movie
what
all around is
about?
Horrible.
I don't really think it's good.
They were talking about whether or not Jason could exist, and they were just kind of like, it's bullshit. And then Jenny's like, well, wait, hold on a second. And she uses her child psychology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, to diagnose him as murdery.
You're taking, say, child psychology. Mikey just shakes his head. Like, that's not a thing.
Yeah. You guys, I've taken 2 semesters of child psychology. Mm-hmm. That kid's probably alive, never told his mother, hid in the woods, grew up, now wants to murder people.
Right.
Just saying, made an A.
Yeah. That's child psychology.
What is that?
What are you not getting?
So anyway, Jason's got a bad case of woods murders from all of his childhood trauma. She uses the R word to describe it.
The R word.
It is wood psychology 101.
The R word turned into intellectual disability.
Yeah, like
years ago.
I'll say this: when she used the R word, that was probably the correct diagnosis.
It was the correct
diagnosis to like 2015.
So Jenny's diagnosing him from afar.
Yes.
Are we still at the bar?
Yes.
We were just at the bar. Now we are back at the cabin. Oh. And we got Mark and Vicky playing arm wrestling.
What about arm wrestling?
They're
because
not.
The chimney sweep and Mark were arm wrestling.
Oh,
and
that's
then the
right.
Chimney sweeps like
cheats.
Cheats to win. Mm-hmm. And then preteen Barbie comes over and is like, hey, you want to wrestle with me? And the chimney sweep's like, I mean, it's probably 5 to 10, but let's do this.
Right.
So they go upstairs and then Vicky, seeing an opening, goes up to Mark and go, yo, that dick work.
And no, she doesn't say it right away, but she does say it.
She works up to it.
Well,
for
first
sure.
She says, I just need your fingers.
Oh. Yes, that's right. Yeah. And it's to play video games. Yeah.
And then he goes, you should wrestle my other arm.
Psst, that's my dick.
Okay, so we're making jokes, but she is all over him.
Yeah, she is
making
all over him.
She's
very
making it very clear.
Mikey literally said, I wish women were this forward with me.
She's basically like, hey, you know, we've been talking all night. I'm kind of interested in you. Do you want to have sex?
I know.
It's never that easy.
The thing is, women say that to Mikey. He just doesn't pick up on it.
I'm like, what?
There's no way she was into me. Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
She asked you if your dick
worked.
And
you blew it.
I thought that was an insult. She gave me her number, but I threw it away.
Whatever. So Vicky's like, yo, want to smash? Mark's like, yeah, I'll smash.
And so they're talking about whose cabin they're going to go back to. And she wants to go freshen up a little bit. And she goes back to her cabin.
This is where things get weird.
It does get weird. She pulls out what looks for a minute like the most gigantic sweater that anyone has ever seen.
This is my favorite scene, by the way.
Well, can I say this, though? Before she does that, she takes off a sweater.
Yeah.
Puts on a different sweater.
Right.
Takes her pants off.
She's wearing cute little black underwear.
But she pulls out
like
sweater.
Like some weird like tan.
No, it's poopy brown.
Yeah. It is.
It is like
it's chocolate brown.
Emoji colored brown.
Apparently Victoria's Secret is that she pooped herself.
Hide your shit stains with our poop brown undies.
He'll never know.
It's our little secret.
So she puts these brown underwear on.
And then goes to her car.
No.
Right.
First, she gets the perfume.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Neck. Then she sprays her vagina.
Yes, she does.
Well, she sprays a couple of spots in between. I mean, she wants to smell good everywhere she might be encountering him.
It's like, I'm more than happy to help you out down there, but holy shit, my eyes are burning.
Well, also, she just shit herself, so she's trying to cover some of that odor.
What scent do you think it was? What if it was like Christmas cookie or something?
It was new car.
Speaking of new car, she then goes to her car, pantsless.
Why?
Yes.
To get a brush. She was looking for her brush.
Yeah. And then
it was in the car.
Yeah.
And brush her hair a little bit.
Yeah.
At this point, if I was Mark, I would have been like, I knew it. She's blowing me off, man.
Yeah.
No one comes up to me and says, let's have sex. What cabin should we go to? It's been 30 minutes. Yeah. I'm just going to sleep. I'm going to pretend this didn't happen.
Yeah. Well, while he is contemplating where he's going to sleep that night and figuring that she stood him up, he wheels out onto like the patio. Yeah,
this is the best part because it's dark and quiet. And he's like whispering. This is like would be me. I'd be like, Vicky, where are you?
Vicky, where did you go?
But he's kind of excited. He's like, do you have a sexy surprise for me?
There is a surprise waiting for him. Yeah.
Yeah, there is. And it's a machete to the face.
Yeah.
It's from like Jason.
Thrown at him with the force that knocks him down the stairs leading to where the water is.
So these are two of the more popular kills.
And this is one of the more popular kills. And I think partly because like people really like Mark and I think he's a
no,
great
no, he's
character.
A genuinely like nice guy.
He
There's
is,
not
yeah.
that many of those in these movies.
Yeah.
See, here's what I don't understand about. I thought Friday the 13th he only killed after the kids had like done something wrong.
No,
that's kind of that's kind of played out more than it really happens.
Right.
At this point, then we cut to the chimney sweep and preteen Barbie upstairs getting it on.
Yes.
Before we talk about how sexy this scene is or is not, Jen, do you have some fun facts for us?
I do have some fun facts about this scene. So
I'm going to pre-say gross.
Yeah.
All right, sorry. Do your fun
fact. I honestly, I don't know how old she is. We looked up her age. Yeah, she probably was 17 at the age of this filming. Okay. So this is when they're having their sex scene, and it's going to end tragically for them.
Yeah.
So this scene had to get cut a lot of times for them to avoid getting an X rating. Partly because of like the brutality of the kill. I think it showed it a little longer, but also because there was full frontal nudity in this from her. And so they had, it was a lot longer. And then they found out that she was underage. So they had to cut it. And that's my not so fun fact.
That is not a great fun fact.
It is not, because
it's a great fact.
And this scene was 100% ripped off from a Mario Bava film from about 5 or 6 years earlier called Bay of Blood.
Yes, okay. And people have claimed that they didn't know about that, but there
is... Or Twitch of the Death Nerve, depending on what title you see it under.
That's what I saw it as, yeah.
So setting the scene up, so they finish or whatever, and then he gets on top.
Mm-hmm.
But she's so tiny because she's a kid that you can't even see her. He's like smothering her.
Yeah. But she sees Jason from behind, Chimney Sweep Man, who's got the spear that Dreamboat Ted used to scare all of the counselors earlier.
I think you mean Tugboat Ted.
Oh, sorry. So he takes Dreamboat Ted's spear and stabs them right through each other and the bed.
I think Jason killed her on accident. He couldn't see her through Ted.
The chimney sweep.
The chimney sweep.
Pedophile guy.
Dick. But this is another one of the most iconic kills from this movie, too. Yeah.
So then Paul and What's-Her-Face come back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jenny and Paul leave the bar, and Ted decides to stay.
Good decision. He was into the bartender, and we've all had one of those friends who's like, yo, I'm going to stay, because like they think the bartender's into me. And I'm like,
yeah,
okay,
I've been that friend.
You got to stay and see how it works out with the bartender. I'm going to head home.
Well, and also, I think he's shit-faced.
Well, his face is shit. That's for true.
But this is interesting, because this is the last time that we see him. And so what you were just talking about is like you get killed after you like drink and have sex. Like he gets wasted, and that's what saves him in this movie. So it kind of subverts one of those tropes. And so now Vicky gets back to the cabin. She spent 45 minutes getting her brown underwear and her sweater on, and now she's all ready to go. And she walks upstairs, still looking for Mark because he's fallen down the steps and she hasn't seen him. And so she goes into the kid couple sex room and walks up to the bed. She decides to look under the sheets of this bed where her friends may or may not have just been having sex, and it's not them, it's Baghead Jason, who jumps up and like menaces her
and stabs her in the leg or slices her leg.
So she backs up at like 0.1 miles per hour.
Well, no, she hits the door and she just goes
and he like plays with her like he hasn't done this yet, but he like totally is fucking with her, like he's hiding and everybody else he's just like, I'm just gonna kill you.
Yeah. And
he's
so
like
we see
bodies.
The chimney sweep is hung up by a sheet.
I mean, he gets murdered and then someone hangs him up by a bed sheet.
Oh my God.
To make it look like he was hung. Yeah.
The director of the camp were mysteriously off the scene.
Oh my. The cameras are broken, Mikey.
Yeah, Mikey.
There's no way to know what really happened.
No, no way.
Cameras are broken.
Anyways, so she just stays there and screams until he creeps slowly up to her and kills her.
It's like 30 minutes.
It is. It's this lasts as long as the flashback scene we see from the beginning of this movie. Yeah, yeah. And she's just standing there screaming. She's in shock or whatever, but she doesn't try to get away.
At all.
And she doesn't. She dies. So now Jenny and Paul get back. They go upstairs and they see blood all over the bed.
My favorite part about this scene is they come in and like the cabin has like the lights left on. They're like, they wouldn't leave it like this.
Right.
Something's wrong. Let's go upstairs and check.
Yeah. And they do. And it is wrong.
There are no bodies there this time.
No bodies.
Because Jason had been moving the bodies. And we do see him moving one of them.
We saw like bloody feet being dragged down the stairs. Yeah. And so now I think the power goes out at this point.
It does.
Because they're walking around with flashlights and Jenny saying, there's somebody in this room. And then Baghead Jason jumps up and...
Which is a weird thing to say.
And it's not so much that it's weird. It's the way she's saying it. She's like, there's somebody in the room.
She does say it. Well, and then when he stands up, you see him and she's like, there's someone fucking in this room.
Instead of like, that right there. Let's get the
Paul,
fuck out of here.
There's a guy in the corner.
Right.
He's just like, yeah, yeah, whatever. And then he gets jumped on by Jason.
Right.
And then they like Greco-Roman wrestle for 20 minutes
and
on the floor.
And she just stands, sits there and
yeah,
does nothing.
Yeah, she's just like, I wonder who's going to win this.
All right. So she runs into the bathroom and she's like, this is the weirdest thing. And it reminded me of the part where
Jason slams Paul down and he's incapacitated.
Right. And so she goes into the bathroom and it's really weird.
And she was in the bathroom, to be honest. I mean, she probably should have like taken care of business right there because she clearly had to go.
Yeah, that's going to come
back
later. Oh my God,
yeah, that's going to come back. Well, the thing is, there's no lock on the bathroom door.
No, but it reminded me of the scene in the first one where she's piling like 9,000 chairs in front of the door handle. Yeah. So she's
and
like,
then he just comes through the window?
Exactly, and that's exactly what happened. Yeah. She's trying to hold the door closed, and then, and this scared the shit out of you.
It did. It was scary as fuck.
Yeah, and because he smashes his hand through the window and tries to grab her, and she, I don't know how she gets away.
Well, his arm... I think he was doing like shadow puppets because it like stays through the window a long time. He's like, it's a dog.
Is it Muffin?
He calls Muffin.
Oh my God. No, what happens
I
is
like the muffin
his pinky
theory.
Does the little bow on Dollar Ring.
What happens is he reaches through the window and then she runs out the bathroom door. She was just closing.
Because she
knows
he's outside
now. And then runs to another room that does have a lock and she locks that one.
Right. Yeah.
Smart play.
Yeah.
And then she gets a pitchfork through the door.
Yeah, well, yeah. That door, the door that's locked.
And she sees Crazy Ralph's body.
Oh, yeah, he's in the closet. Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the slasher trope is that the final girl sees all the bodies staged. So
well, she's
like,
about to see a lot more because she climbs out the window and starts running through the woods, right?
Right. Yeah, well, first she gets to her car, but it won't start.
Oh,
and then
right.
Jason pitchforks through the top of the car because remember, it was a bug and it was like a
At
convertible
this point,
bug.
Jason's pretty lazy because this is a soft top.
I think this whole sequence is well done, though.
I think so, too. And it's much more interesting than the end chase in the first one.
Agreed. Did she already pick up the chainsaw?
No.
No, not yet. And so now she's running through the woods and she's running. It took me a while to figure out where she was going. She's running back to her cabin. So she gets into her cabin. And so then we lose track of her and we see him walking up to the cabin. We see his legs walking through the door.
Oh, yeah.
He has his pitchfork and then she's under the bed we see.
Yeah.
So she's hiding under the bed and then a mouse, a cute little field mouse, runs up to her, starts menacing her and trying to dare her to scream.
But instead of screaming... She pisses herself.
She may. Yeah. It's so weird.
Not, it's a lot. It's at least a lot. It's a lot of pee.
So you're saying it's more than a mouse amount of pee.
Yeah.
Do you think it's Muffy? Do you think Muffy's there?
Muffy's
trying
Jason?
To signal to Jason that she's there. That's what it is.
Marking the territory?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is starting to work.
Yeah.
It is.
And I've never heard this theory before, and I like it.
We're just coming up with it now.
So she's hiding under the bed, and she thinks he's gone, so she creeps out. And then, surprise, he's standing on top of the oldest chair in the world. Because it immediately crumbles underneath
him. Yeah, this is where his only one eye hole gets him, because he has no depth perception. So he can't fall into her. He just falls towards her.
And his pitchfork lands on the floor. He didn't even see that chair had three legs.
Yeah, and then Muffin comes out from behind the bed and is like, woof, woof.
Yeah.
This is where she runs to her closet, gets the chainsaw, and cuts his arm.
Right. She's running through the woods, and we see this is the same path that the sheriff took. Because we see that puddle, and then we see that other puddle. And then she has to stop and huff and puff for a minute, too. And she kicks him in the dick, I think, at some point along the way, too.
She does. She hides from him outside of camp and kicks him in the dick.
She hides from him in between a twig branch. So she gets to the shack. And she goes inside and she sees Jason start to come in after her. And then she walks in and we see the room that the sheriff saw, but we didn't get to see yet, that may or may not have had Marcellus Wallace's soul in it.
The murder shrine.
And it is the murder shrine, because what we see is Mrs. Voorhees's head, who Alice had cut off from the last movie and the beginning 45 minutes of this movie. And it's propped up with like her sweater and clothes from that night all around. And then we see Terry's dead bodies on the floor. And I didn't catch this, but I'm pretty sure Alice's body is supposed to be there too.
I've heard
with
that.
Like an ice pick in her head. I didn't notice it, but I read that. But yeah, it is a murder shrine and it's got victims propped around it. And so now she gets a clever child psychology idea because she sees Jason coming and she knows the story because Paul
told
her.
That's the legend, right?
Exactly.
So she puts on the dirtiest Goodwill sweater she could find.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is where she makes her mistake. What she should have done was put the sweater on and then put her hand up in Jason's mom's neck and did it like a puppet.
Do you think Like a severed head is just lamb chop?
Do you know differently?
I don't know differently. That's fair.
At least bounce it up and down and be like, Jason, don't kill me.
It would look like a Canadian in South Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and so she starts talking in her mom voice and she's like, Jason, get down from there. Just talk. I don't remember what she said.
Get down from that murder ledge.
Exactly. Jason. But she's like being kind of kind to him, but also like, get down on your knees in a mom way.
Right.
Not a weird way.
Right.
But so Jason's, we see Jason looking at her and her face starts to blur. And then we see Pamela.
Yeah, then we go back to previous footage from the first movie because that's a common theme.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And actually, I think some of this might be new because I know that she came back for a little bit of this.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So this is actually her again?
Yeah, it is. Okay. She returned for this. Anyways, so she's telling him, like, listen to your mother, Jason. Like, get down on your knees. And so she pulls the machete up and she just slightly moves out of the way. And then Jason sees that the head is still right behind her. And he says,
You're not
my real mom.
Exactly.
And then he blocks her with the pitchfork, I think, or something. But he blocks her killing blow. But then Paul to the rescue, who was not dead, who jumps him from behind, and they start fighting, and then she backs into a corner and doesn't do anything.
No, she does something.
Again.
No,
she does
fight again.
Eventually. She just wants to see which one's gonna come out on top.
Yeah. You know? But anyway, so she eventually does come and like attack him, and she gets pretty far into his shoulder with that blade.
And it's super slow motion when she does this, too. It's
It's like, so Jason's about to kill Paul and she's like about to kill him, and it's just like, who's going to win?
Mm-hmm.
And she hits him before he kills Paul.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and we think he's dead. And this is when they take his bag head off, the bag that's over his head.
Yeah.
And they're like, and horrified, but we don't see it. So then they slow motion walk through the forest and he's helping
Paul fucking carries her back to the cabin.
I think it's back to her cabin.
Nobody calls the cops.
Yeah.
Well, the cops are dead.
Well, yeah, the one police officer in town's dead. So that's true.
But all their friends left the camp.
Exactly. Yeah. All their friends were murdered. Like, get in a car that does have gas.
Yeah, there's plenty of cars around.
Yeah. She's right in front of an open window.
Yeah.
And they hear something outside, and so he gives her the pitchfork, and we see that iconic shot that we keep seeing. I don't know if it's iconic, but it's the one you see over and over again with this movie, where she's looking at the door and she's got the pitchfork just staring, waiting. And then Paul goes up to the door and slowly opens it, and then
what we don't see is, leading up to this, Muffy the dog is like, fuck you, Jason, I'll do it myself.
Yeah, I say fuck you, Jason. Yeah.
Yeah. This is why this works.
Because Muffin, the accomplice, has come to be a decoy for Paul. Get him out of the way. So because it is Muffin at the door.
Yeah, Muffin's like,
this has to be it.
And so then we see Jason without his bag head on now.
Looking a lot like the Hound.
He looks like the Hound from Game of Thrones. And jumps through the window and grabs Jenny and starts to pull her back or attack her.
All you see is Muffin smile in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's the bitch now?
See, I think this was a dream, though.
This part of it? I can see that.
Because I don't think Paul's alive.
I've got a fun fact about that you might know. Yeah.
So let's just finish the movie, then we'll talk about
it. Because the next thing we see, like, he's slow motion jumping through the window to grab her. And then it cuts right to her the next day, getting into an ambulance.
Yeah.
And they pull off before the ambulance person is able to close the back door. So they all fall out of the back and die.
The guy who puts her in the back of an ambulance closes the left door and then just doesn't close the right one. If you look at the guy who's in the ambulance, he's like, thanks a lot.
Yeah, the paramedic is pissed.
Yeah,
right.
He's like trying not to fall out where he closes it. Yeah, it's very funny.
That's the word I was looking for.
And I think that, like, once she dispatches with Jason in the cabin, I think after that it's a dream. I don't know, but I could be wrong because a lot of stuff doesn't work if you go that route either.
Right, because they don't show us what happened to Paul.
Yeah,
we never find out.
Paul ghosted her. It was
But that's the movie.
Well, almost that's the movie, because we see a shot of the murder shrine now and it zooms in on Pamela Voorhees' head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's do box office.
All right, box office.
Do you know? Do you guys know how much the budget for this movie was?
It was more than the first one.
$2 million.
Yeah, that's what I'd guess.
I think it's under $1 million, right?
Nope. The information I have is $1.25 million.
Ah.
So just over $1 million.
So Jen was closer.
But
made a little over 20, right?
It did all right, man. Yeah, it did 21.7.
It did do
million.
Well. It did not do as well as the first one, and doesn't do anywhere near what the next two make.
But yeah. still, on a $1 million budget to make $21 million, that's great.
Well, and this is one of the most beloved movies in this franchise, too. Like, is it people really? Love this one. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because like we were saying,
a lot of people pick it as their favorite.
Exactly.
Because
lots of people consider it the real first movie.
Basically, 2, 4, and 6 are the three that kind of get tossed around by a lot of fans.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't wait till the next one.
And then some people.
Hey, but five
is the one you got to be really looking forward to.
And then Jason Takes Manhattan. Oh. All right. So, Jen's Fun Facts. Okay. So, this was originally going to be an anthology, kind of what they had intended Halloween to be. And the plan was not for Jason to be in this. The plan was for every year on Friday the 13th, they were going to release a new movie that was not going to connect, but it was going to be about a Friday the 13th superstition. But because that jump scare surprise ending at the very end where Jason jumps out of the lake on Alice was so popular and people liked it so much, they decided to bring Jason in and make him the killer.
Huh.
So the original director, Sean Cunningham, and you may know more about this, Jonathan, he did not return. And there's this really contentious court battle right now, which is why we don't have that Friday the 13th video game, why we're not getting another remake anytime soon, because he hated the idea of Jason being the killer and he thought it was really stupid.
All right.
Tom Savini, who did the effects on the first movie, which was one of the things that made the first movie stand out so much, he thought the idea was dumb too, and he turned this down and ended up working on The Burning, which if you've seen The Burning, it's pretty good.
It's a Friday the 13th ripoff.
It is, yeah. It's just, I think, dated. But
Savini does come back.
He does, yeah. And The Burning has George Costanza in it, too. So
Jason Alexander, Holly Hunter is in The Burning.
Oh, yeah. Wow. It's interesting.
Fisher Stevens.
Yeah. And if you're interested in stuff like that, there's a documentary, and I think it's on Shudder right now, right, Jonathan? It's called Crystal Lake Memories, The Complete History of Friday the 13th.
I believe it's still on Shudder, yes.
And I have not seen it, but you've seen it.
Yes.
And you said you can kind of skip along, right?
Yeah, it's really long. Like it's like many, many hours. But anyways, they cover at least through Freddy versus Jason and they have them as chapters. So like if you wanted to watch the films and then like after you watch the film, watch the section on that. And they even do the Friday the 13th TV series, which that had nothing to do with Jason. Mm. But yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, cool. I've been meaning to check it out and just haven't had a chance to yet. So yeah, we'll link to that in the show notes. There was a rumor going around for a long time that we don't find out what happened to Paul because he had left the set before they had finished wrapping the movie. Well, it's not true. I think they just left it open-ended, which kind of bugged me a little bit. And so what they originally were going to do is the zooming in of Pamela Voorhees' head, and you actually called this, Todd. You said if they show her eyes open,
yell.
Yeah. So they originally were going to have her wink to the camera, implying that they had killed Paul. But they did that because they had an actress like put her whole head through the hole in whatever the head was on. And they filmed it and it just looked really cheesy. So they cut it out. But if you've seen Freddy versus Jason, the very last image is Jason holding Freddy's head and he winks. And I think that's kind of a shout to that. Yeah.
Okay. I just think they were trying to figure out how to top the first one and they couldn't do it.
I think so,
that's
too.
The scene that really killed, you know, that's the scene with the audiences and everything got into. Right.
So the people that played Jason, because there were a couple of different people that played Jason in this movie, named Warrington Gillette and Steve Dash. So apparently Warrington Gillette auditioned for this role and got the part and then showed up and like refused to do any of his own stunts or anything. And that's pretty much all Jason does.
That's him in the scene though, where he comes through the window. Wasn't that the only scene he filmed?
And I think when they take his mask, anytime you see him without a mask, it's him. Which
because he said the prosthetics were really hard to act with. And then everybody on the set basically said that he was
didn't really want to do anything. Yeah. So Steve Dash was the stunt man that they hired to do it. And he basically did just about everything. He ended up having he got injured by a machete. Jenny accidentally cut him with a machete and he went to the hospital and he had to get 13 stitches in his finger.
What?
I know. And then he went back and like put some rubber thing over his finger and they kept going and finished the scene. So he's kind of a badass.
Cool.
And that's my fun facts.
Well, thank you for your fun facts.
Well, you're welcome.
You see?
All right. So final thoughts, everybody. I liked this movie. I thought it was good. It's not my favorite in the franchise, but I think it was good. It was entertaining. It's fast. It moves. You
it
know?
Is quick, man. It sets mm-hmm. the premise. It does the premise, and then it's over. Which right. I appreciated that about it.
I think it steps the kills up yeah. a little bit. It steps the action a little bit up. Sure. It's a more dynamic movie than the first, but I just love the first so much. It's the power of Kevin Bacon, man.
I thought the first one was stupid.
I know. You guys were really bored by the first one.
Yeah. I mean, this one, I think, is a more interesting movie than the first one.
I think so, too.
I don't really like either of them that much, although they're neither of them are super scary.
Yeah, I
so,
kind of agree.
I mean, it's not, it wasn't super scary. It, so, I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
I understand why they were big movies when they were out.
Mm-hmm. And I understand why people that love this franchise love this movie,
sure,
too.
Yeah.
You know, because this is like this is what Friday the 13th is, you know.
I think I do like the first one better. I will say, though, I don't love any of these movies. I think that, like, if you take, like, I guess, like, the big three, you've got Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, and Friday the 13th. I don't think Friday the 13th has a film that equals the original Nightmare on Elm Street or the original Halloween. However, as a franchise, I think it's a lot more fun.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because mm-hmm. it's just, it doesn't ever take itself too seriously. Mm-hmm. It's just fun. Like, I don't know how else to put it. It's just, and it gets kind of bananas towards the end of the yeah. series in a good way. This is pretty straightforward. This is basically like you took a director that's better than Sean Cunningham, and he made a better version of the first film as far as like visually. There's actually like lighting, whereas in the first one, it was like you just put a flashlight in front of somebody.
Yeah, this yeah, one yeah. looks so it much does. Better than yeah. the first
and, like,
one.
And part of that was the budget.
And the final girl sequence is a lot better. I think Amy Still is a better actress than Adrienne yes. King.
Yeah. And a better written final girl.
Yeah, and there's actually likable characters like Mark.
Yeah. yeah. Oh know. Man, I love all the characters.
Vicky, Vicky's
the
a likable character.
She is. Yeah. There's really nobody in this movie that I don't like.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think. It's not scary, but it's like it's almost like an action movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just a bunch of action sequences with like cool kills at the end.
So let's do scary scale, Jen.
Hey, listeners, our scary scale is a scale we use to rank how scared we were when we watched the movie today. It's not a ranking of the quality of the movie. It's how scared we were tonight when we watched. It. Our one example is Ghostbusters. Our 10 example is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. All right, Todd?
I'm going to give it a 3.
A 3?
It's not all super right. scary.
Is that for each one of the jump scares that got you?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it might as well be.
All right, Jonathan, what you got?
I'm actually going to go 4 because I do think just the atmosphere itself is creepy. You mm-hmm. don't really know what's going on a lot of the time. I mean, you know now, but if you put yourself in that kind of mindset of, you know, you don't really know exactly what's going on. That's the way the movie's presenting it. Mm-hmm. It's not scary. It might be the scariest of the movies of the yeah. Friday the 13th movies.
Mikey, what you got?
I'm gonna give it a 2. I can see what you're saying like yeah. back in the day, but like now I'm just like so dead to the world.
Well, yeah, I will say no. I did say
that.
But
just tired.
I do mean that. Like even now, I think it still has that kind of suspenseful atmosphere too. Mm-hmm.
And I think it does a better job of holding that suspense yes. than the first one does, too. Because the first chase scene is so long.
And
that
the
you
pace
just lose
of this movie
it.
Is pretty good.
Yeah, I
think
agree.
So, too.
Mm-hmm. That's something that it does better than the first one. I'm going to give it a 2 as well. Because I do think, like, I enjoyed it. There's just something about it that's not particularly scary for me. Like, mm-hmm. the scariness of it just doesn't quite hit. Yeah, so 2.
Slasher films just aren't that scary, though. They just...
Right, and I don't always disagree. Watch them to be scared. I think I yeah. really like the formula, and I like the final girl, but I'm not always
but
like, scared by
but did
them.
Scream scare you?
Scream
I mean,
Scream did scare me. The first time I watched Scream, like, that opening scene well, was... with Drew Barrymore.
Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But did Scream scare you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So this week, you guys made me watch Friday the 13th, part 2.
Yeah, part 2.
So next week, you guys are making me watch what?
So our last listener request was so close. Jennifer's Body only won by 1 vote that we yeah. decided, and I just love Josh Hartnett. We're going to go ahead and watch The Faculty next week.
What has he done post Lucky Number 11?
Well, Todd, you're about to find out.
No,
actually, this was Lucky Number Slicks,
this
I
is
think.
Josh Hartnett.
Oh, yeah.
He did Black Dahlia.
He did do both.
He did.
So, guys, watch The Faculty before next week.
Yes.
Because that'll be the movie we're doing on Monday, which is real soon from now because it's Friday right now.
It is,
in
yeah.
in the timeline of now. So, we have promised to do 5-star reviews. So, if you guys
yes,
leave us 5-star reviews, we are going to read them. And Mikey has been talking shit about how he can do any accent yeah. and challenged you guys to do accents. He's going to shit the bed on this. Trust
no,
me.
He's not. Jennifer's going to provide the translation. No,
I could do this.
So this is actually a podcast review from Great Britain.
Oh, what dinosaur are you embodying?
Looks like a T-Rex.
Okay, T-Rex.
Yeah.
Okay. T-Rex
he's
going to
read
is.
This as a dinosaur?
Yes. Do you want to just roar a lot and I'll read the actual words? This podcast is amazing. It's super funny. The guys are amazing and Jen's fun facts are really informative and fun. I highly recommend this podcast. It has something for everyone. Even a horror virgin like me.
Five stars.
That would have been so funny if Jen had just read a word each time. This.
All right, was
so
awesome.
That's your five-star review from Chewbacca704. Thank you so much for that review.
Mikey. Yeah. Good job.
I'm sweating.
It was entitled They Can Get It. Thank you so much for that review. And guys, if you want us to read your review, please leave us a five-star review in your podcast app. And I guess choose a voice.
Accent of choice. Yeah.
Maybe not dinosaur next time. Wow.
I want you to specify which dinosaur, because there's a world of new dinosaur voices we can explore.
We are a member of the Modern Horrors Podcast Network, which means you can listen to us in their feed, but why would you do that when you could listen to us in our feed 2 days earlier on Monday?
That's right.
If you do listen to us in their feed, you're also getting the wonderful...
me, Jim Ferratu, on all the socials.
What? No.
Oh.
Holy shit.
If you are listening to Modern Horrors.
So if you are listening to Modern Horrors in their feed, you're getting the... if you are listening to us in their feed, you are getting the Modern Horrors Podcast on Death, Dying, and Other Things, and the lovely Final Girls.
And also me.
And if you want to talk to Jen or Mikey online, it's Jen Ferratu and M Randolph 24. I am at Tajay Awesome, and our guest, Jonathan.
I am at Sam Loomis 13.
Yeah.
On the tweets.
And
the
can also catch you on your podcast too, right?
Yeah.
I do. I have a podcast. It's called Behind the Sens. Each week we cover the previous week's Cinema Sens videos, TV Sens videos, and Music Video Sens videos, which all three of those channels release new videos every week, including Music Video Sens. We now on Fridays have this thing called Music From Behind, the Music Video Sens guru Barrett Scherer created. It is amazing. It's basically a takeoff on Behind the Music. It's very I don't even know how to explain it. Just definitely check it out.
Just go watch.
Then we've got the Behind the Sens podcast. The other Cinema Sens crew, they do a podcast called The Sencast. Good God, we have a podcast about the show Barry.
Ooh.
And it's called Now Starting. I believe they've aired every episode up through the end of season 2, but you can go listen to that
show.
Once season 3 starts, they'll start right back up.
Nice.
Awesome.
And we're just doing a lot of fun stuff like that. We've got a Patreon, patreon.com/cinemasens.
Cool.
And I think that's it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And we'll link all that stuff too.
Thank
you. So you can find it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I want to plug a quick podcast because I just was a guest on the Pod and the Pendulum podcast talking about the Friday the 13th remake. So if you like Friday the 13th part 2, check them out. They just finished their entire series on the Friday the 13th franchise.
Awesome.
I also was a guest on Serial.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Were you the hat maker guy that died?
No, I was the guy.
No, he was eating Captain Crunch. It was a box of cereal.
It's a different pot. He thought it was that cereal.
Welcome back to Mikey's Imaginary Podcast. Guesting on famous podcasts.
So guys, check out our website at horrorvirgin.com. You can see Jen's blog there. You can also link to our merch store. We have a Patreon as well at patreon.com/horrorvirgin. Please help support the podcast so we can buy new mics and new mixers so we can give you guys better sound.
So Todd will stop yelling at me to talk in the mic.
Oh my God. You have no idea what I had to put up with, guys.
No.
And if you can't support us financially, just please continue doing what you're doing, and that is just sharing the show with your friends.
Yeah, it really
family,
means a lot
and
to
coworkers.
Us.
Yeah, we are having record number months, month after month, which is awesome. So thank you for that.
You could also join the Facebook group, which is totally free, and we have lots of really fun, exclusive to Facebook content. Mm-hmm. Like questions of the day. I did some videos.
Yeah,
and
I just ask people stuff like, how do you pay your electric bill?
I asked, who is your favorite guest and why is it Jonathan Watkins?
That's right, yeah.
That's so many reasons.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, guys, check out the Facebook group on Facebook. Obviously, you can follow us on social at Horror Virgin, all of that good stuff.
Yeah. Thank you, Jonathan, so much for stopping
by. Thank you for having me as
well. We may be seeing you again soon.
Maybe so.
We may have already planned it. And thank you for joining us for this very special Horror Holy Day Friday the 13th episode. We're so excited. I love Friday the 13th. It makes me really happy. So thanks for joining us tonight. We had so much fun. I'm Jen.
I'm Mikey, and that's it for us on this special episode.
And I'm your Horror Virgin Todd, so that's going to be it from us on this very special episode on Friday the 13th.